Blog Talk Radio.
Free, free from my past, free from the pain, free from the guilt that would cause me to be ashamed. Once I was blind, but now I see clearly the debt that I owe. Jesus paid for me. No more chains are binding me. I'm totally free. Even my human desire to crucify my soul could not outweigh the knowledge of the fact that you made me whole. Time after time I remind myself that your mercies is beyond new. Help me, O Lord, to establish and know that at Calvary was redeemed. You set me free, free from my past, free from the pain, free from the guilt that would taunt me to be ashamed. Once I was blind, but now I see.
Even though I was a sinner, you commended your grace and your love for me. Saved me from death and destruction, gave me life eternally. Not after my sins have you dealt with me, Lord. I'm so grateful for all.
My heart, free from the pain,
totally free.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Words from the Word. And I am your host, Overseer Paulette. And I have come this morning to you on our Friday Fellowship of Learners to wrap up our study, A God-Sized You from Tommy Finley. A study we've been in for some months now to enlighten us, even during this wonderful season of the Sound Conference, to magnify the Lord, to elevate, to reassess our worship, and to decree and declare our gatherings and our life as a sacrifice, an offering to the God of all glory. We have looked at worship from a God's eye view, as well as from the view that we have currently. And we have seen some things that have hindered our going forth or are coming up hither. And he's identifying them, and he's refining and defining them so that our light can shine bright. And as it shines, it will shine in humble worship to God in every area of our existence, not just our life, but our very existence, because we will come to know the power we have in the tongue to bring a worship into the earth realm that will transform your environment. It will transform the places that you release this light of worship in. And so as we come to the close of the book, I offer you opportunity to share some things that made you more mindful of this season in your life and God's direction for you. Everything we do is preordained to bring us to a place that God has in mind, bring us to a place in our destiny on God's timetable. And so take your phones off mute and share this morning as we wrap up this book. We want to hear how it has impacted you, or if it's impacted. Okay, y'all don't want to start talking, but we're going to start just with some. Yes. Here's the.
Come on.
I hear you.
Excuse me. Well, you know, the book is so full of many things. It's just kind of hard to just point out one thing, but it makes you, you know, contemplate over a lot of things. your way of thinking, your way of viewing things, your way of just looking at his words, looking at his ways. The book just caused a lot of things and giving you, he said, a God's eye view. that, you know, not just the God's eye, but just, you know, just open up your eyes, seeing how from God's eye view, and then just seeing things, just looking at things from that view, because sometimes we're just looking at it from our eye view. But you just can't point out, you know, one thing, like I said, it's just full of nuggets.
Because
think and contemplate and I can't even find words to really describe, you know. I think go back. You have to kind of go back to again. But it definitely causes you to want to draw closer. And begin to try to see things more so from God's eye view.
Amen. Wonderful insight and summary of just the overall nature of the book and the main focus of the book. And as you were speaking, I was remembering a scripture that had become one of those life-changing scriptures that you grab hold to and you can't let it go. And for years and years and years, the scripture, where the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that we would understand the hope calling. We would understand the why of it. And I felt like this book helped to define the eyes of my understanding being enlightened. In other words, I needed another perspective. I needed another view. I needed a telescope to see, enlighten, to enhance the picture or the reasoning for why I'm even saved, so that my eyes will be enlightened, so I will, that gives me an to understand this new journey, to understand and view some of the road signs, so that we know when we are in his will. And so I felt like the last couple of pages in the book, we read them, I don't know. A lot of people never got the book. Because it gives us a good summary. And one of the focuses is on our perception, remember last week, of this dragon. All right, that is described in the book of Revelation. But it says the key moment in this divine timetable, the key pivoting point in our journey with God, once again, Satan is holding his head, and he can't figure it out because he doesn't know everything. Place of a God's eye view, we are now acting because of this knowledge of what's going on from the Holy Scripture, and he can't figure it out. Somewhere the anointing is rising, and he fears, he being Satan, fears he won't be able to stamp out this holy fire either. I thought that was so profound when the season of fire starters. And so all of these things are pointing to God's activity in our life, not just in the earth realm, but specifically in our life. And at a time when this is what he is focusing on. God has an entire generation of deliverers hidden in the bush around his river of life. So though it may seem like things have run amok, as it did for Abraham, and he had to sacrifice his son, God has a ram in the bush, and it is this generation of deliverers. We have been hidden, and now we are being released. That's exactly what prophets shared last night. And so for it to come on the heel of our study, we don't want to miss the importance of what God is sharing with us. The devil has lost his position. The devil loses his position when we sit in ours. That's when the anointing is rising. The closer we get into the presence of God and the mysteries that he whispers to us, the anointing is empowered. It's not that it really changes, but it comes out. It's drawn out. That's what prophets shared last night from the Isaiah scripture. He put it in, and he will draw it out through us. And when we realize this, it will become a holy fire. Fire starter. Hallelujah. God has an entire generation of deliverers. You know, the prophetic word is, who has God for the class of 2023? Who has God chosen but this class? Who can do it the way he wants? No one but this class, because this is God's divine timetable. And the devil he's lost his position. He's lost his place. He's lost his understanding. He's desperate. And he plots, I got to kill the anointing before it matures. That's that frustration that he's going to send. That's that warfare that's coming our way, because he knows not what's going on, but he knows something is going on. He knows that the devil is a dream stealer. He wants to kill your dreams before they can come to maturity. He's afraid of what you can do. As soon as you begin to dream, his plot is to send somebody to say, that will never happen. Or, no, we're not going to do it that way. Or, where's the money? In every possible way, he will try to abort the destiny God has woven into your life. And so these are truths that we have to see from where God is sitting, from the heavenly places that Christ has died. He has asked so that we know. Apostle said. Okay. So that we know that we're at the place of enlightenment. All our eyes are open. Our eyes are being opened. And it's not that they were closed necessarily, but they were impeded because of our perspective and our position. And so now we're, and as he said, in his divine timetable, it's time to come up hither. This is our next. This is what is released. And it's not just in one area, like, oh, that's just what we do in labor. No, this is what is happening in the kingdom of God. I believe that as we look at the progression, even of those that have been ordained, and they have different names that were given to each one of the classes, we were going from inside the building inside the four walls to outside. That was the vision of the apostle, this global ministry. And we're at a place now where we're being introduced. God is introducing us to the world through this parliament, through our association and our networking. This is the position he needs for us to take. It has to be at his side, in his presence, because that is the only place the mysteries of our victory are going to be manifested. It's going to be manifested. We're going to look at that a little later on. The enemy wants to stop your process through frustration, through weariness, through being overwhelmed. It's too much, you know, and yet the prevailing voice is, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to continue. And so that is what we need to magnify the Lord. And that continuation is empowered by our worship, by the sound of the heartbeat, the two heartbeats together. The enemy is a defeat. We need to see that from where God is sitting. We need to read the backstage script on how this thing is going to play out. We're going to know the beginning from the end because he will reveal it to us. It also shows this very, very, very profound and something that we need to take notice of. The enemy also wants to kill or divert your children before they step into the fullness of their destiny. No generation has been targeted for death and disintegration of identity on such a staggering scale as this generation of young people. We need God's eye view in every area of life. We limped along with hampered vision long enough. You had a choice between impaired vision or 20/20 vision for the rest of your life. Which would you choose? This is the choice God set before us now. A God's eye view totally changes our day-to-day lives from the inside out. And that's how people will recognize that there is an illumination in the lives of these people. We have tapped into the wellspring, of worship and exuberant prayer. So he's brought that sound conference to us to give us insight and direction to open up, to till the ground. Come and not come. He's with us. But as he comes, he has met a people that have learned how to worship in spirit and in truth. And our joy will spill over into the lives of everybody around us, the government, the community, the individuals in the government, your neighbor's children, you know, all of these places of death and destruction are going to see a light, and everybody will run to the light, because the Bible says every knee is going to bow. Every knee is going to bow. And we don't have to step on anybody's theology or doctrine toes to declare that the final victory of our existence boils down to one word, and that is worship. It is God's backstage pass to a whole new realm of vision, power, and authority rooted in intimacy with him. It isn't complicated. Just take your cue from a little child in a crowd on a crowded elevator. Father, pick me up. I can't see from down here. I can't see how this can work. I can't see where this is going to end. I can't see where there's a hope from where I'm standing. It looks devastating, and so did the cross. But he needs us to know, and that's why he said, lift me up. I'll draw men. And as we lift him up, we in worship will have him lift us up. And then we are able to share the worship that will wreck the world's wickedness. I like that. Hallelujah. All right, all right. So there are 10 points the author wants to share with us in the epilogue. And they indicate that, you know, how you got a GPS, a global positioning system, and a way to get statistically from one point to another. Heaven has one, too. Also, a glory positioning system, GPS, glory positioning system. And that will help us on this journey to this place. We always see from down here, and you can't. We looked at that. We said even how differently it is when you're on a airplane and or walking on the runway. Wow, that gives you a whole different perspective. We can't always see clearly from down here. It's time to admit our sight problem and ask our Father for help. The disciples humbly asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. We need to throw our hands in the air and humbly ask, like with a childlike heart, I don't know anything. Lord, Lord, I can't see from down here. This is this place of going to zero. We often think zero is bad. But in God's view, it is his favorite number for building his relationship with us, because zero is his favorite starting point for a place of miracles. Zero is where the miracles will manifest. And sometimes we struggle so hard to not be at zero. In other words, at the end, and we can, and we think it's such a horrible, hideous place, and yet zero, I got nothing, is the best place for the manifestation of miracles. We must rediscover the virtue of miracles and look to him as our rock and strength for what we face today and tomorrow. Every word that comes out of our mouth when we look at the news, and overseer guilty, 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 but has repented of that. But every word that comes out of my mouth when we see the news, which seems to be so discouraging, we have to see the divine timetable. The eyes of our understanding must be enlightened so that we know the hope that we have. Our hope is an eternal one. Our hope is an all-powerful one. Our hope is an everlasting one. Our hope is what's going to win in the end, because we done read the script. We know how this is going to end. Passion must return to the church so his presence can come to stay. And that's the key. It's come, it's there, but it has to stay there. It doesn't stop when you go to the bathroom, or you go in the hallway, or you go and get a cup of coffee. It doesn't leave. It stays there. We put up with the antics of self-appointed passion police far too long. Either we chase God or we pursue the approval of fickle flesh. God is tearing down every no PDA sign in his church. And we learned that this PDA was a public display of adoration. And people will look at you when you are worshiping God as though you have erred because they have a place to go in the schedule for the day. He comes for our passion, not for our religious pomp and circumstance. He does not come for our order of service. He comes for our passion. We must rediscover the biblical power of position. And it's not that we don't know, but we're at a new place. This is a divine timetable. And in this time, you've never been this way before. And you must watch the priest and the ark. And you must understand what that means. And with God's eye view, that's where the mystery of that is released to you. But it only comes when you position yourself in his presence to say, sons and daughters do not have to shout out their position from a bad place in the world. We don't have to sit in front of our TVs and lament what we're seeing. Our hearts are broken, but it is broken, and that brokenness takes us to zero. Remember, it takes us to zero, and that's where miracles happen. That's where miracles happen. We can sashay into his as sons and daughters seated in heavenly places because Jesus Christ's blood was shed and flows and covers us so that we can have a God's idea. The heavenly perspective puts Satan, the accuser, in his rightful place, side in the cold. Not in your home or in your heart, wrecking havoc, tearing down your hope. While the tattler and the tattler and his tattletales are stuck outside, we get to enjoy the privileged access of sons and daughters in God's holy presence, and the enemy cannot come there. Stop turning the molehill of past distresses under our feet into mountains that may ultimately threaten our destiny. Rediscover the proper use and potential of the power of magnification. Oh, come magnify the Lord with me in our sight and in the eyes of the world. Magnify him. Our conversation at all the wickedness that we see should bring us to a point of worshiping God, magnifying him in the sight of first our own life and our own own comfort and our own peace, and then the world will see it as well. There has been a thief in the house. Someone took our worship and left a cheap counterfeit in its place. Just as the enemy of Israel ransacked the temple of Solomon of all of its implements of worship. When Solomon built the temple, there was just, I don't know how to, hordes of just golden overlaid bowls and spoons and cups and articles for worship. There were so many things that were there that was overlaid in gold. They were so precious. They were so rich and enriching. And the enemy of Israel, when they tried to, when they defeated the Israelites, they ransacked the temple of all of those things that the Israelites used to worship and to honor God. And so the author is sharing with us now, this is what has happened because someone took our worship and left a cheap counterfeit in its place. Someone managed to steal pure worship from the church. We replaced it with cheap substitutes covered with a shiny veneer, covered with a veneer of religious tradition and empty ritual. God doesn't care what the nameplate says on the front of your church building. He wants to know if he will find true worshipers in spirit and in truth in your heart. In your heart. It's time to stop shouting at the devil and start whispering to the Father. One of the things that apostles always hit on his lap, because she has his ear right there on his lap. That's that ultimate intimacy, that as we abide with him, it empowers us with vision. You just think of the vision and the insight and the authority that the Lord has given to those that abide on his lap, whispering in his ear, not shouting to him from the other room because you want him to do something, but there, just, and one of the places to be, the place to be of peace is truly on the person of Jesus Christ and the Lord God Almighty. Frankly, we should probably use every tool God provides for us, but above all, we are called to worship him. God fought the most important battle for them. God fought it. God has given us a backstage pass with all of the rights and privileges of heavenly citizens positioned around his throne. Get that picture of where you are. Get that viewpoint from the perspective you're at, that position. And what is the other P? The position, posture. Thank you, Apostle. That posture. And we need to understand what that posture means. Your posture decides the King of Kings, the Lord of all lords. That's where you are. You are there, and you have his power just because of proximity. Not all his power, but all the power you need to fulfill your destiny and your place in his will. And that's what life has been granted to us for. We have this battle, so how it's going to end. He expects and anticipates our immediate arrival to take our seat with him for God's eye view of the comet drama going on right now. So he know we coming. He know we're there. And he's prepared this place. And there in your place, said, I will prepare a table before you. So we're at this place. The table is prepared for everything we need to engage in the will of God for this world, for this divine timetable. And he's given us this God's eye view. An exclusive path is in your heart and on your lips even now. Worship him. He has a pass at the door, and all you have to do is say your name, and you are allowed access. Come right on in. There's a line behind you, but you get right to the front of the line with your worship. You get right there and ushered in, escorted to his presence when you worship. Your worship is your escort into the presence of God. And it's in your heart, and it's on your lips. And you can't really not do it, because once it becomes a part of you, then it just comes forth, that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And that's when our tongue becomes the pen of a ready writer, and it's writing life, is giving life. Take on a new view of your brief earthly lives, and life on earth is brief, by allowing God to protect them over the greatest canvas of his eternal purpose. So take a new view. Take a God's eye view of this little brief part of life that we live here with all these issues and wickedness and horrors. And it's a smart part. It's a small part. And read the rest of the scroll. Acquire a new view from his side, revealing the end to the beginning. It will totally change the way we live each day and make the most of each moment. Every moment counts. Every moment is needed. Every moment that every child of God has this epiphany of who they are and where they are and the empowerment that they're given and the destiny on their life and how things will change. We don't have to talk about change. We'll just come forth because we walk in that change. We walk in truly a newness of life. Not that life became new, but life became known and true life became revealed and we walk in that victory. And so we are in a position now where God is releasing us in the earth realm to bring his presence. We are. So you're going to be salt to a lot of folks, a lot of church folks. You're going to be salt to. But one of the wonderful, powerful things about salt, it will preserve the church folks. And it will bring a healing. Salt, it has a healing property. And it will bring a healing to the church folks. And then that just increases the number of those that are going forth in the earth realm. So we have to have this, the fruit of the Spirit, so that as we impact the church folk, okay, as we impact them, we are helped. God builds army for what's out in the world. When Christ comes and he's going to rule this earth for 1,000 years. It has to be with people that have come to a God's eye view of things and understand that the enemy is defeated. He is now. You're not intimidated by him because you're empowered by the God of glory. And so we just want to get this God's eye view that will cause us to walk straighter, to make noise when we put our feet down, to make a sound of victory. You know, you can hear somebody come and you can kind of judge, you know, their personality. They come walking strong and hard, you know, or they come really slow, not slow, but so light, and you don't even know they're there. But they're going to know that we're there. We have to come, okay, with this breaking up hollow ground with the feet of reconciliation that is covered by the blood of Jesus. So we're supposed to make a sound when we walk, where we go, what we say, what we touch, what we think on. Think on these things, because if you think on them, those things that are not as though they are, you will manifest them into the miracles that God needs to transform the lives of those who are in need and have desired to be free. Desire to be healed and whole and no longer bound. And so you've gotten your marching orders and you've gotten a position and weapons. You're being fitted with, you've gotten your garments of praise, and you got your garment of righteousness. You're cloaked with that. You're covered with that. And that's covered with the blood of Jesus. We ready. We are ready. We are ready. And that will end our God's idea. Question, comment, please.
Overseer.
Yes.
I was watching this History Channel yesterday, and it was, you know, like going through the history of the different civilization and, you know, the destroying of the conquering of these different civilizations. And I was thinking, and then even when I read, when you just read and when I read about the destroying of the young people, you know, so many young people are being losing their lives. And I thought about, I was thinking about that as I was watching the channel, and then when I read, and I was thinking how, you know, I was saying, Lord, you know, a lot of these young people, and you know, He has a purpose for each born, you know, and their lives are taken. And I thought about, you know, how the Pharaoh, you know, destroyed baby looking for the deliverer. And so I was thinking, you know, the enemy is angry, and he's destroying. It's almost like the same thing. He's destroying the babies, you know, before they can become that which God had purposed them to be. It's you know, and I was just asking the Lord, you know, that's just my little man. My man always works. I was saying to him, Lord, I don't understand. You know, people are constantly, man is constantly trying to rule you out of everything, you know. Because I was watching another channel, and, you know, they were talking about if God created man. They were saying that, you know, did Adam and Eve have a belly button, and just talking all kind of foolishness, you know. And then there were two Adam and Eve, and just all kind of nonsense, you know. I said, Lord, and they best just rule you out. And, you know, and some people that maybe their minds aren't very strong is listening to this nonsense. And I say, from what I can see, man always wants to conquer other nations, conquer man, bring them under their power. Or, and I said, Lord, I just don't understand it. It's just like from the beginning, you know, help me to understand what's really going on, because you just see it all.
No, and I think that's a wonderful question. I really encourage. Wow, I don't know quite how to say this, but there's only two things that's going on. Ever.
Uh-huh.
And that's God and Satan. That's it. So God created a world, and Satan wants to corrupt it and destroy it because he hates God. He's angry with God. He wants to be God. So because of that, he will even get us to kill each other because we're God's creation. And remember, he is trying to accuse God of not being God. If you're God, why is this? Why is that? Because he doesn't know everything. And so when these nations and these worlds and these countries kill each other, that's Satan. that is Satan trying to destroy God's world, but he can't. And every, you know, like you said, when you look at the history, there's this study that you may enjoy, The Return of the Gods. And what it's telling us is it's always been like this, because there's always been this enemy between God and Satan. It has always existed. And this is Satan's, that's what he's doing. That's what he does.
Yeah.
And so when we understand, he's going to do what he does. But the pivotal point is, God is going to do what God wants, but he's doing it through us. And we more than likely are helping Satan. Even Peter was helping Satan. And Christ had to tell Satan, get behind me. Because Peter was saying, he was saying some things that were contrary to God's truth, to Jesus' truth. So he had to tell, you know, we have to rebuke the enemy. But more than rebuke, we embrace, you know, by doing some of the things that, you know, he entices us to do. And so if we see it, it's odd, but if we see it as black and white, then it will become so clear. The fact that even in this season now of destroying children, and they did that really big time with abortion. So when they ended abortion, now they're destroying the children's identity with this gender junk. And so it's the enemy. He's doing all that he can, because he does see the anointing rising. He does see, if you look in this generation, they're black and white. It's either right or wrong. Ain't no in-between, and I don't know how you come up with that. But sin is sin, and there's no other term to put with it to make it acceptable. It's not a white lie. It's just a lie. You know, but how many times have not only we said it, we've done it, and we embraced it big time. Tell them I ain't here. It's a sin. And every time we do that, we are helping the devil. So that's the God's idea. That's God. Now, we can say, yeah, but. Nope, ain't no but with God. It's that way, or it's wonderful insight, though. And definitely a stirring inside of you to know why. And then to receive the why from the word. And the word tells us, you know, that's what the word says. And then he shows us the history. Even just a little short history of the Israelites was filled with error, sin, wickedness in high places, the priests, you know. What they doing now was no different from what they did 2,000 years ago. Amen.
Overseer.
Yes, ma'am.
I was listening when you was talking about the brokenness, and I was thinking about really Samson and all the Old Testaments, where the people had to be broken. And that brokenness was, to me, is for our sake. God knows what we're going to do. He wants to trust us as well as we trust him. Until we go through the brokenness, we don't know our true identity. But once we go through the brokenness, and we find out who we are. And as you were saying, you know the tricks and the tactics of Satan, that you're not going to allow him to use you no matter what. You still have that love for God that you No matter what he takes you through, you still want to stand for the righteousness of God. And even though we as the church, we say we understand it, we say this, but we haven't gone through that brokenness where we can't depend on nobody but God. And once we get self out the way, and you know that we serve a God that cannot fail, that he cannot lie. And I say this because I think I started with the promises of God. And when I went back and found out what he had promised, and then when I was going through the brokenness, it didn't matter, you know, the cancer, the everything, the need, the pain, the COVID. I mean, when you went through everything and you know right. God is going to bring you out to serve him. And it's so much going on that he has told us, because he said at the end time, it's going to be darkness. Satan is going to be saying that he deceives the whole world. And when they were showing about Hayes the other day, my heart for those children, and they not picking up garbage, and they don't have AM1 shooting people. They got the machetes killing people. And you know, the media is showing us all this darkness. But I was saying, Lord, and then when I called him, he said, stay focused on Jesus. And even though the darkness is all around us, we got the light in us.
That's
and when
it.
We stay focused on what we got in us, oh, and we come together like we're on this line now, lifting up one another and lifting up Jesus. God gets the glory. And this is what he's saying. And, oh, gosh, if we can only get our children starting at home to hear what God is saying to us. And even one little bit of light, one little bit of light in this darkness, we won. We got the victory already.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. Wonderful, powerful. That's that going to zero about, you know, miracles happen when we get to zero. There's nothing left, you know, as
right. It's
zero. That's it. I got nothing. And that's when we really look to him. And because, amen, amen.
And good morning, overseer. And yes, that confirms everything he's been speaking through the weeks from service to everything else, that we just have to hear his word and obey it, whether you're afraid or you just have to walk in it and fully hear him and obey him. So thank you for everything that you spoke and everyone else.
Amen. Good to hear from
you. And I just want to say something too. You know, God put people in our path, as our apostle always talked about the journey. And we never know which way we're going. But when we're seeking him with our whole heart, he's going to do it. And I'm almost 75, but it took a long time to me. But God.
Amen.
But God. And that's why I say just stay focused. For the young people, we can just encourage them, no matter what it looks like, just be you.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
Amen. I sometimes, for our young people, and I know that it's a delicate thing, but so often, they have no idea of the power of God because we don't testify to it. Now, we do testify to, you know, he healed us and he paid the bills and those something. There's so much in our life that he has transformed that they just don't know, because we do not, we have not been a witness to it. We have not testified them. They don't believe me. They go, oh, not you. Yep. You know, and it's not that you want them to know the bad, but you want them to understand you understand the good, the bad, and the ugly. And God does too. And he doesn't give up. You know, he really is. I'm not saying that because he's with me and I'm going to be too, 75. Praise the Lord. But because when I was 25 and when I was 15 and when I did this, and that, okay, he is a forgiving God. He is a loving God. And so we don't often put it in the framework of their world and of their lives. So it appears for them that God is just not relevant for them, okay, from the way we share it and the way we present it, not so much present it, but in the way he is revealed to them through us. And so we used to have what they call revealing service. And I think sometimes that's what we need, you know, not to that depth, but to a place where we're just honest. You know, we're honest about where we were, or heck, where we are now. Our for real emotions when I see brother him or sister them or whatever, you know, our real emotions, our real heart condition, and not just give it these nice, but give it a face. Give it a, well, not so much a face, but give it life so that we can testify to the fact that God transforms that life. It doesn't have to stay that way. He transforms it. And no matter how difficult it is then worthy. It works out to our good. And it becomes something that we are grateful that he did. Grateful, grateful, grateful.
Yes,
so
Lord.
We want to prepare for our new book. So I hope that everybody gets it. It is it's Hell's Toxic Trio. And it's by Ryan LaStrange. And we're going to do that in tandem with The Screw Letters, Elder by C.S. Lewis. Elder
Who's
Deborah?
The author over there?
Okay, hold on. Elder Deborah, what's that, the book, Screw?
Who is the author of Hell's Toxic Trio?
Ryan LaStrange.
Okay, Overseer, I couldn't get off of you.
Oh, no problem. What is the name of it?
It's The Screw Tape Letters by C.S. Lewis.
Right, okay.
Screw Tape Letters.
C.S. Lewis. You don't have to necessarily get that book. I don't know. Is it in public domain, Elder?
Not yet. It's 2034, because I looked it up. But there are tons of copies. It's been printed like 15 times. So, you know, I got a copy for $5. I had to pay $2 shipping, $2.95 shipping. But, you know, but you can pretty much find, you know, go on some used site that people, you know, just want to do it. It is on Audible, and it is on e-books. And on Audible, for one credit, you can get like 8 of his books all together. You know, it's like a Screw Tape Letters, Chronicles of Narnia, The Great Divorce, you know, for one credit on audiobook, Audible, rather.
I do it on Audible.
Okay, what book you talking about now?
Okay, now that book, don't worry about it. You don't necessarily have to get it. But what we're going,
Right. Elder Deborah is going to present their letters. You know, okay. Their letters written. And so she's going to present a letter. Okay, we're reading Hell's Toxic Trio, and it's going to address certain issues. And those issues that it's going to address, there were letters written by them in this screw tape book. And she's going to present the letters. I think it's going to be really fascinating because, Elder, you want to share where the letter came from?
Yeah, and I actually printed something off, just like three sentences to make sense because
okay.
I figured you might say something like that.
How do you spell the author's last name over there?
Okay, it's L-E-S.
Like it sound?
Yes.
Of course, I'm looking for it. I don't see it. Okay. Well, anyway, this was a fictitious, obviously these are fictitious letters. C.S. Lewis was an atheist, and but he was seeking, and he eventually became converted, and all of his writings kind of are like satirical type writings, and one of the things he was noted for was saying that how sublime or how insidious Satan is, that basically that it's not the real big things that trip us up. It's the little bitty things that trip us up and keep us without being focused on Christ. And so this letter, these letters are like a little training and motivation to his nephew, who's a demon in training. I mean, that's the premise of the book. The nephew is a demon in training, and whose name is Wormwood. And this is the uncle sending him ideas, like, you ain't got to worry about him doing something big and gross. Just keep him involved in the baseball game or the football game, and he won't go to church. And if he does that all season, you know, that's going to water down. I mean, that's a very loose and probably weak paraphrase. But he just shows how we can get distracted in ways we don't really even recognize. And that how things that aren't necessarily sinful in and of themselves can be a stumbling block to Christians when we don't put them in the right, the correct perspective. You know, so... you know, it's just a matter of just kind of like being distracted. Like you can just be distracted and still miss the message or still miss the point or, you know. And I did print it off. Oh, see, I'm in here at my desk, but now I don't see it.
I was,
you know,
as you were talking,
I will have it. And if you guys, I can tell you, like, if you guys would get your emails to me, if you have access to email, then I could just send you the copy of the one that we have, you know, whatever one we're going to be reading. Because what I hope to do is to be able to, as we're reading the book, find a letter that maybe corresponds to that type of deception, that type of manipulation, that would just kind of make it, you know, don't say more real, but, you know, just to...
it's like
exemplify or highlight.
Right.
And so I could send, because each letter is just one page. So if I had everybody's email, so if you send me the emails, but it would be nice to have it in one list, because then all I have to do is send one email and it would go to everybody. So maybe between now and next week, either get it to Overseer, just your email, or who's ever on the line that would like a copy of the letter that we're doing on whatever prospective week, then I could just send it out, and you guys could have it and read over it yourselves as well. And then, you know, there are some questions that go along with it, and then we can deal with the questions, you know, if there's time on when we're doing this kind of thing.
And I guess as you were speaking, it reminded me of the letters that Paul wrote to So, you know, he was not the uncle, but, you know, spiritual father. Mm-hmm. And
Titus and Timothy.
Yeah, Titus, you know, so it's the other side of that.
Yeah.
It's like
it
the other side. Yeah, it's like, you know, this is what you should do, and they over there come on this side, we gonna do this, so they can't do what they should do. You know, or and when it happens, Paul recognized it. There's always going to be God going to have someone to recognize it and to war against it with the truth, with the word, which is what he does. But anyway, I think you'll really, really enjoy this. I think Hell's Toxic Trio is a sifting of some things that need to be sifted out, and so we could get to zero and we can be transformed. So this powerful season that God has for us, it's the next. So
Overseer?
Yes.
I found my blurb. So this only takes 1 second. It's
sure.
No, got a lot of paper in here. Screwtape Letters, a fictional collection of letters from a tempter named Screwtape to his nephew, Wormwood. In the letter, Screwtape advises his nephew on how to best tempt a person into sin and eventually hell. A challenge for all believers to consider what is happening behind the thin veil separating us from the unseen world. That's it.
Perfect.
But I mean, I'm just saying that's the setup of the book. You know, I mean, that's
right.
Right. So
fax that to me, email, whatever, so I can make it as
okay.
part of our introduction for Words from the Word, because on the same level, the Hell's Toxic Trio is going to present the enemy behind that.
Okay.
So there's three.
Yes,
and that,
right.
There are three. And they're going to give them the names that come with them from Scripture. And you're going to see the history of how they work and the area that they have the authority over in the underworld. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the key. When Elder Roberta was saying, you know, about why is this and how is this and what's going on, these demons are very busy. They are very real, just like Holy Spirit is real. Jesus Christ is real. God is real. So is his enemies. These are angels. Angels can be seen, have been seen, the good ones and the bad ones. And so as a result, to understand the spirit realm teaches you, particularly you intercessors, how to best war and to whom you're warring with and what their M.O. is, if you will. So if it's Baal, his M.O. is one way. If it's Molech, his M.O. is another way. So each one of these entities, they have a history. And their history is known throughout civilized time. There was not ever a time, other than the garden, and then they're really there, but whatever, that they had not been released in the earth, where they are making God's creation corrupt, or trying to make God's creation corrupt. They can't create a world, so they want to corrupt the world that's created, and then that's their counterfeit world. You know, then they're going to take the credit for it. Well, you know, this is my world. I did this. Well, you couldn't do it until he created the original, and then you went and messed up his creation. So you really haven't created anything. You just messed up something. You know, so it's really understanding. You know, I always find it amazing. Heaven has conversation all the time. Heaven is a place, okay? They up there, they doing stuff. They're just not waiting for us to pray so that they can say hallelujah. They're doing stuff, okay? They're coming, they're going, they're coming down here, they're going back up. I mean, they're doing stuff. And sometimes it's hard to wrap our minds around. But when you do wrap your mind around it, you understand who you are connected to. And that makes you feel a whole lot different. When that prophet, I don't know if he was a prophet or not, but when that young man was afraid, and I think the prophet said, show him who's here. And then he showed him all these spirits of angels were there on his side. It's like, oh, okay. You know, you kind of can put your shoulder back and stretch your stuff because you got some that you weren't aware of. So I think as we become aware of who's with us, then we go forth in a greater boldness, and we're able to endure, suffer long, because we know we're not going to suffer always. We know it's going to be over, and we know when it's over, we know who's going to win. So you don't mind fighting the battle and looking like you're losing when you know the bottom line is I'm going to win. So just endure. You'll be good. So anyway, so we've gone on and on. So I look forward to this time together. Going forward, and we'll put a little announcement on our page here. I don't know what they say. Our advertisement. We may have other people on, so we'll try to make sure we keep it safe, a safe space. So there are obviously some numbers I am very much aware of. And so those are the numbers that we'll have, privileges. I'll just put it that way. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, enjoy. I don't know for sure what happens this weekend, but probably nothing. Yeah. It's happy June.
Isn't this the first week in June? The beginning of your anniversary celebration almost?
Oh, right. Oh, my God.
Overseer's teaching.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Hey, come on, Jesus Christ.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Jesus. 36, 26, 16. Overseer Marlette is teaching. We're going to do the first Now Network, show.
Gathering women of whatever it is.
Yeah,
yes.
Whatever. And, yeah, all of that. Church
all
anniversary.
That.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay. So we are definitely be online on different platforms and all of that stuff. So God bless you. Come on out and share. I think we got a 4 o'clock service, too. I'm not real sure.
Check your emails. It is in the email thread.
Thank you.
The email that you send out. Elder Sharita did send it out.
Yes, she did. Praise God for Elder Sharita. So just check your email. Okay. So
all right.
That, I'll say, yeah, be blessed.
All right. Have a good week.
Oh, I'm also going to
have
you. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.